Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cicerino, back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of August 9th, 2022, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, we are back live here today to update you on all of the stories we are following here at this hour. Here with us today, a man who is getting loose for a big job tonight when he throws out the first pitch at the Arizona Diamondbacks game. Here he is, Father Nature, Pickleball's top influencer and star of Challenge USA, Tyson Apostle.
Here I am. Been resting my arm for about almost 30 years.
Yeah.
So we'll see if it's rested and ready to throw a fastball. I'm stepping all the way back onto the mound, too. I'm not taking the cheater's way out on the grass in front of the mound.
Mm-hmm.
So... or probably dirt on front of the mound. It's probably a full dirt infield.
Yeah.
I'm going to step ready. Back onto the mound. I'm ready, dude. I've thrown an opening pitch before. It's no problem.
Listen to that confidence.
Yeah.
No problem. You're used to throwing rocks at scorpions. So you've got just pinpoint accuracy.
Exactly. No, I threw one before and they said, do not throw it in the dirt. Nobody's getting dirty for a pregame to dive for an opening pitch. So you have to err on the side of lifting the ball. So you got to throw a high fastball. That's what they want.
High heat.
So since that first thrown ball, you've never thrown a ball since?
Correct.
Good. That is some good training. You don't want to injure your arm. You want to keep it as stationary as possible.
Yeah. That was about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. And the timing will be right.
Yeah.
All right. Of course, a man who always brings the high heat. It's Danny Bryson. Danny, how are you?
Speaking of heat. Yeah. I was sitting in my office the other day.
Yes.
And I heard kids, which is an unusual, and pots and pans banging. And so I abruptly got up and went into the kitchen where my two boys and one of their cousins, they're pulling out pots and pans.
Okay.
And I asked them, like, what are you guys doing? And they said, we're doing Hell's Kitchen. I said,
yeah,
what?
Like the show?
Turns out that overnight they became massive Gordon Ramsay fans. My 9-year-old and my 12-year-old, and they wanted to cook. They just want out of nowhere. They thought they were just going to take stuff out and cook. So they were pulling out pots and pans, turning on the stove, getting out ingredients. And they just thought they could just throw things together. They've seen it enough on TV, which I didn't even know they were watching Hell's Kitchen. I'm assuming that within the next couple of days, they'll develop terrible language problems.
You've gone out of your way to not have any TVs in the house.
Right. And I gone out of my way not to ever curse in front of them, but all that's gone out the window because I've watched a couple episodes of Hell's Kitchen because now in my house, it's unavoidable. It's always on somewhere in the house. And while they do bleep it out, I can guarantee you that my kids' imagination, it's filling it right back.
They can figure it out.
You don't think they're thinking it? They're not filling it with poops and peeps?
No, they are not. Okay. I don't know if your kids have gone on the F word discovery mission at every.
Oh, kid we already told them.
My kids went on a mission to find out what it was.
You wouldn't tell them?
Whispered in dark corners.
Did they ask you?
F word. No, they never asked me. They kind of like went out in search of it, listened to other adults talk, watched TV, thought they'd heard it.
Could be a whole movie, dude, or a documentary.
It really could be because every single one of my kids went through the F word phase. Anyway, the heat is on in my kitchen. I eventually shut that down. I turned off all the stove tops. I said, look, I'll let you make a grilled cheese. Choose your ingredients now. We got a little panini maker. I'm like, that's it. We're not doing anything like omelets or whatever it was you had planned.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
How did they get into Hell's Kitchen? Does Liz watch it?
Dude, I have no idea. And it was overnight, they decided they were mega Gordon Ramsay fans. They don't even like, they don't care about Hell's Kitchen. They just love Gordon Ramsay. Mm-hmm. And while they were cooking, they were asking their 9-year-old cousin who was there to yell at them, to motivate them. They're like, hey, could you, while we're cooking, could you say things like about our cooking?
Wow.
Just where does it come from?
And you didn't film any of this? This is the stuff that they're going to look back on in 20 years.
I was participating in damage control.
Okay.
You know, like dropped gallons of milk, cheese spread all over the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
anyway, it's been an interesting week.
How was the grilled cheese?
It looked disgusting.
Oh, see, then you ultimately did become the Gordon Ramsay that you didn't want to be.
I advise the Gordon Ramsay would have thrown it all over. Gordon Ramsay doesn't have to pick up the messes.
You call this grilled cheese?
They picked the wrong cousin to be the judge because the cousin was not mean enough. He wouldn't pass judgment. And so they went to a dessert section of the show.
Oh, they had to go all the way to dessert. Yep. Dessert tiebreaker, huh?
That's right. They went to a dessert tiebreaker. And even then, he was too nice. He was the anti-Gordon Ramsay. He couldn't say a bad thing about either of their...
That's
unfortunate. I can say lots of bad things.
So this is the PBS version of Hell's Kitchen?
Yeah, the Peppa the Pig version. So anyway, it's just know that from here on out, I'll probably be cleaning up messes in the kitchen, just like that South Park episode, Cream Friege.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. That's fun that they discovered that. And
it just happened.
That was the game.
It like overnight.
Oh, just barely. Mm-hmm.
It was as
just
if
like this morning.
Yeah. No, no. I mean, like it just happened overnight. Meaning,
yeah.
Just I never
heard of Gordon Ramsay in your home before.
It was as if I took a shower, mm-hmm. and while I was taking a shower, entered a different universe where my kids. Remember, we talked about those people who could transfer timelines. By yeah. taking showers.
Yeah.
I entered a timeline where my kids love Gordon Ramsay.
Hmm.
How do you get out of it?
I need to escape this reality because it's going to be a lot messier.
Mm-hmm. You can take a different shower.
I need to change the temperature in the shower, meditate, think about a clean house. And then hopefully when I turn off the water, I'll be in a new timeline.
Where's the closest Hell's Kitchen location for you? Vegas?
Well, I didn't know. And yeah, I didn't know Hell's Kitchen was an actual restaurant. So I was watching it yesterday and I'm like, why are there people there, celebrities eating there? Yeah. So it actually did seem interesting. You could watch what was happening, the berating mm-hmm. as a customer.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I love it.
Anyway,
username says, switch them to Guy Fieri to fix the timeline.
That not a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't a bad idea.
I prefer how do you say his last name? Ferrari?
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
I prefer Ferrari. Guy to that health food guy. The other one, the James, the guy who loves school lunches and health food.
James Corden?
No. But you know who I'm talking about, Tyson, right?
Jamie.
Oliver.
Jamie Oliver.
Mm.
That it?
No.
No.
Maybe.
Obviously, he doesn't matter because we can't remember his name.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to us. We don't recognize him.
So anyway.
Guy Fieri.
Fieri.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bleach tips.
Maybe that's what I'll do. I'll move them down to Guy Fieri.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. They'll just be making stuff with like all the stuff that you like. What's it called? Like fiery.
Ribs.
Yeah.
Right? And like steaks and boneless wings.
Flavor Town, right. All of like, he's going to make like stuff with Cheetos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the kind of stuff I like. Not the fancy food, like pork tenderloin doused in horse semen.
Yeah. He's going to marinate some wings in Mountain Dew.
Yeah. That's my guy. Mm-hmm. I need to get my kids onto that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about some of the top news stories at this hour. I thought this was pretty interesting. Of course, you know, these are confusing economic times. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't know what's going on, but it's not easy to, you know, everything's costing more to get your hands on some expensive jewelry for you want to propose to that special someone. So it looks like that there are jewelry companies that are helping people with fake jewelry for proposals. So when your special someone goes on the Instagram or the TikTok after the proposal to show everybody, they get to show off a fake ring And then they don't have to show everybody like the small, like chintzy ring that they got.
Oh, kind of like celebrities who go to events.
Other with houses.
Jewelry. Oh. It's not theirs. Mm-hmm. It's been loaned.
Oh, you could just do loaned jewelry. It doesn't have to be fake. You could just do loaned. But also like Cribs, it was famous for just like not. Those weren't the celebrities' real houses. Sometimes.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know there was mm-hmm. Cribs controversy.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. And even Pawn Stars, most of those products on Pawn Stars are already owned by the pawn shop.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, lots of stuff like that.
So is this ring like a stand-in that you use until you figure out what she wants, just so you can really surprise her?
No, it's so that you, imagine like a prosthetic wang if you have to send a DP.
Oh, you mean like if my wife's going to take a picture of me full frontal nude, I'll want
to share it with everybody.
Yeah. I would say it would be more a little bit more like if your wife or girlfriend was going to share with her friends like your nudes. This would be like the picture of the prosthetic that she would be sharing with other people to fake that. Like, oh, look at this. But you both know it's not the real thing. Like it's not like, neither of the partners are being tricked. It's other people are the jokes on them.
Instagram versus real life type of thing.
Instagram proposal, the ultimate Instagram proposal right here.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like you and your partner, you get to spend the money on something that's actually more important, but jokes on everybody on social media.
I kind of like this. I'm not going to totally poo-poo on it.
Yeah. I wish my wife went for this.
Yeah, I think rings are stupid. I think diamonds are stupid.
Yeah, but then why? That's the thing. So here's the thing. If you have someone who feels the same as you, Danny, then there's no shame in getting something that's not a big diamond.
Certainly
stone.
Not. Yeah.
But like when Rachel was telling me about her ideal ring, she said, I just want something simple, classic, elegant, doesn't have to be expensive, like a pearl or something timeless instead of a diamond.
Oh,
or I need a diamond bigger and more expensive than any of my friends.
Uh-huh.
And she definitely emphasized the second one.
Yeah.
So I was like, I know what you want. I know what you're telling me is what you think I want. And then what you're following it up with much more enthusiasm is what you actually want.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, there's a really dumb quote in here that says, that's stupid. A real man should know what his wife likes and what kind of jewelry she wears.
Well, yeah, they're also saying that like, okay, you could just use the fake one and then go and find out what she really wants. But really the best case scenario is you and your partner work out like, hey, let's actually spend the money on something that's that we really want and then just trick everybody on social media.
Hmm.
Like Cinderella had her moment when it was all a lie. Women can have that moment. Where it's like, this is a giant ring. Look at this.
Why does it matter? I would feel more ashamed. It does matter
to some people.
Yeah.
I know, but don't you just feel sad if you're just lying to everybody who follows you on Instagram that you have this giant ring? Like that would just, that.
Wouldn't they want to see it?
And then in person, they're like, let me see that ring. And they're like, this is just my wedding band. This teeny tiny cubic zirconia is just my wedding band.
Yeah, but you don't have to see that many people in real life these days. Like maybe you could even get like a Zoom filter that's like the fake ring. So like when you're like, hey, everybody, look at me. Yeah, like, you know, you can get like a Zoom filter, Danny, that like if you have a mustache or like big furry eyebrows like Eugene Levy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do they have filters like that?
Sure.
They have like diamond, 2-carat diamond expansion filter.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet, but you could
probably
get that.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you could also get like a bulge filter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a weird idea, but I could see a lot of people doing it.
Mm-hmm.
By a lot of people, I mean like maybe less than 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
But still enough to justify the practice.
Yeah. So I guess there's like two ways to do it. I guess you could surprise your special someone with the big fake ring, but that seems like a little bit of like, you know, you're going to propose and then it's fake. And then you have to break the news that it's fake. I think you have to like propose with the bad ring and then say, but I do have the fake ring here. Or like, if you want, we can get the fake ring to show everybody else.
Maybe it could be a test.
Hmm.
Testament.
Yeah. Well, although it would have to be the opposite. Kind of like Joe Millionaire. Like, here's this tiny ring. Will you marry me? Mm. And then if she says yes,
wow, take a bigger. I love that. It's the ring. Opposite. It's like, it's the opposite of Joe Millionaire. What would we call it? Homeless Joe?
Hmm. Well, no, it's just a ring. It only applies to the ring, right?
No, to the whole show. The whole show. You find like the perfect dude who's so perfect. And in secret, he's a billionaire. But you have him like.
He proposes with a bad ring?
But the whole show is him like he wears like Kirkland brand jeans and like.
Are you insulting Kirkland brand jeans?
Lives in a duplex. The whole thing's filmed in a duplex with like 30 women in one side of the duplex and him, which his real house, something like that. Something where they're like,
yeah, but isn't that exactly Joe Millionaire?
No, Tice is right. Don't they start in a mansion?
Oh, okay.
The show, they portray this man as.
Is he really hot?
Yeah.
It's like a win-win, I guess. Are these women independently wealthy? Yeah.
No. They think he's very, very poor.
But he's hot.
But he's super hot.
Okay.
So why is this super hot guy with a lot of money going on a reality show?
Because he can't find someone he loves because he wants to find someone that loves him for something other than his money.
That's right.
I mean, this kind of in the second Joe Millionaire that we podcast about, there were two guys and they were both
good looking guys.
One wasn't. Yeah. One guy was like, he was good looking and he had money. And the other guy was good looking and he didn't have money. Yeah. And then like, ultimately, like, I don't think that the way like
but they both lived like they had money. So this is something different. This is, can someone fall in love with him for him being him, not knowing that he's multimillionaire?
Tyce is saying this, the big moment is when he proposes with the crap ring from his supposed dead grandma.
Yeah, but the whole show has led up to this where he's just wearing the same pair of shoes the whole time and they're all totally worn out. He just has to actually, during filming, he actually has to go to work sometimes to his construction job or whatever he's got to do. And then just like make it seem like, yeah. And then when he proposes, then we
monster
can see.
Monster ring after she says yes.
One aspect of the pitch. Okay. What if we make it seem like, it's actually the reveal is going to be that he's rich. All the people on the show think that it's going to be the twist is going to be that he's actually rich, but he really was somebody who was not rich the whole time.
Okay, so that's like
they really
because they're gonna
see it coming.
Yeah,
but the big twist is that he really wasn't rich. I think that because I look, it's 2022. You gotta have layers and twists.
And the prize, if she says yes, the prize is that they get to own their half of the duplex.
Is it a hot market?
Price. Yeah.
And they get another parking spot underneath the covered parking stalls.
No, I think just a duplex, like something that's just like, yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So if anybody's thinking about getting proposing a fake ring, viable alternative. Yes.
One more layer.
Yes.
Whoa.
So they're expecting this not rich guy to be rich.
This is the duplex of pitches.
Yeah, you come in at the end. They're like, you guys probably thought he was going to be rich. He's actually not. Bring it all the way back down and then be like, but he is upper middle. He's middle, upper middle class.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a relief.
Okay.
So you bring it all the way down. You bring it up. You make them think that you're tricking them into.
Yes.
And this guy's mega wealthy. Then you come in and you're like, oh, this guy's actually not mega wealthy. He does actually work construction.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a supervisor at a large construction firm. Very, very comfortable living. Not millionaire, though. And so then it's like a full roller coaster of emotion. And,
what if, okay, instead of having like a stable job, he's upper middle class, but all of his money is in like NFTs.
Oh, he's poor already. So that show, by the end of the show, they're like, actually, he started upper middle. Now he's in poverty.
Yeah. So So this is how it goes.
Okay.
Oh my God.
So the whole thing, the whole season, you trick the contestants into thinking that you're tricking them into thinking that he's not very well off.
Yes.
So it's like mobile home next to like a toxic waste dump.
Oh no.
Whoa.
That's where you're filming.
That's the worst. That's it.
Yeah.
Rock
or that's where the proposal takes place in front of that. They're like, here's my house. Da, 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 da,
it's not really toxic waste. It's a vat of Mountain Dew.
It's Mountain Dew.
Yes.
Yeah. Sponsor. Cause they're a sponsor. Yeah.
So when you propose, if she says yes to being in front of the house, because you know, we're tricking them, she says yes. Then they say, okay, well, this isn't his real house. Mm-hmm. Never mind. I think I'm getting too far into
it. You're in the weeds. You got too far in the weeds.
Yeah. I want like six emotional roller coaster humps on. Mm-hmm.
But the problem is if you build an Inception like reality TV show, people are just going to walk away annoyed. It's like, this is too much. Nobody really knew. Even the guy in charge, even the guy, the producer Tyson, who came up with the idea, didn't know what was going on.
Yeah. I've been on shows like that before.
Oh yeah. Go on.
Let's talk about another story. Let's talk about, all right. How about Applebee's? They've got some new lines of Applebee's lip gloss. Danny, is this interesting to you?
So what was interesting is that when I looked on our list of stories that we had one from Applebee's.com.
Yeah.
That was interesting to me.
That's the news outlet?
Yeah, it's Applebee's.com. Yeah,
they know we're curating from Applebee's.com.
They've got a hot new collab with Winky Lux Saucy Gloss. They're based on, now we talked last week about our boneless wings.
Bone out. Yeah. Your bone out bros.
Yeah. So these are lip glosses that are buffalo sauce flavored. They've got the Give Me Hot Buffalo, a creamy coral that packs the hot buffalo spice your ex could have never handled, Be My Honey Pepper, Sweet Chili Kiss. Actually, that's my favorite wing sauce these days.
Sweet Chili Kiss.
Is that a common one? I've never even heard of it.
Yeah, I like that. Sweet Chili. That's good. And Honey Barbecue Tea.
I've had Sweet Thai Chili.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Was good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the picture on Applebee's.com.
Yeah.
It's kind of gross.
It does look really gross when they put it on top of the wings. Yeah.
That looks like melting.
Mm-hmm.
Like the wings don't look appetizing. It's on a mirror, so it's starting to give off like this cocaine vibe. Right?
Yeah.
The
wings. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So glamour. And then the meat and the wings themselves don't look very appetizing. They're just like melting into the glass.
Danny, you're out.
I'm out. Although this would be, maybe if Liz had this, I'd be more prone to wanting to kiss her.
Oh, you know,
this would be if she had some taste.
Mm-hmm.
If you say Applebee's lip gloss and I'm tasting anything other than apples,
apples would be nice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. My brain's gonna short circuit.
Yeah.
If you were to go in for a kiss and you got wings
after I heard Applebee's,
you're like,
I don't know why. I don't know what it is or why or anything, but when I hear Applebee's, I think apple. I don't know.
Mm. You feel like Applebee's should be like a fruit stand.
Yeah, or like an apple-based restaurant where they're like, here's wings with applesauce on them.
Something the problem
like
is if you,
everything's marinated in applesauce or something, I don't know.
This might lead to excessive lip licking,
mm-hmm.
right? If you've got something delicious on your lips, it might be distracting. Hmm. Also might lead the person who is making out with you believe that you didn't brush your teeth or that you're always eating wings.
Okay, like, here we
let's
go.
Let's say you're dating here someone we go. And this dating is always show. On their lips.
Dating show.
Yep.
So it's like a bachelorette style lady. She has to wear this, one of these sauce glosses.
For medicinal reasons.
All the time. No, all the time. So while she's dating these guys, they don't know that it's saucy gloss. They just know that there's a stench coming from Applebee's stench coming from somewhere.
Yeah, did you just eat Applebee's, ma'am? Yeah.
ma'am, are you an Applebee's frequenter?
Are you bone out?
Closeted, buffalo,
yeah.
Bone in kind of gal. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think, So that I think this is a great.
Wait, Tyson, I think your idea was you were trying to see if whether or not this would be a pro or a con on a dating show. Is that where you were headed with that? What you were saying?
No, kinda it's like definitely, it's definitely a con. Like Danny.
I already stated that this would be weird if I tasted this every time I made out with Liz. I'd be like, what is going on? When are you eating wings? Mm-hmm. I'm around you most of the day. I don't understand. Are you sitting in the car in parking lots, abandoned parking lots, just munching on wings?
At Applebee's?
Yeah, Applebee wings. Well, can't you get takeout?
Yo.
So. Yeah.
Somebody's eating good in the neighborhood.
But here's what's happening. So you're putting all this glop on your lips.
Yeah.
And you, Danny, you're one of 30 dudes vying for the love of this social media manager.
Influencer.
In LA.
Yeah.
Okay.
Manager. She manages corporate social media accounts. Yeah. That's her job. And you go in after six dudes have already, you know, met up with her in private. You don't know what's going on. And she's all saucy glossed. You going in for a kiss? What is your reaction? And she's like, oh, no, it's just my lip gloss. The guy before you wasn't eating saucy wings.
Oh, you think that maybe she's been unfaithful, that she was unfaithful, with some guy.
Rob,
yeah.
There's 30 dudes there. She's got to choose between one. She's got to see which guy is there for her and not repelled by saucy gloss.
Hmm. I think that we're getting close to the real reason this was created. And that is, there were a lot of people eating Applebee's wings that were going home and being berated by their significant other, right? Mm-hmm. And this is going to allow them to start wearing the gloss and say, well, I'm just wearing the gloss because I miss my wings, my beloved wings. And then secretly start reincorporating Applebee's wings into their life.
Maybe, too many people were upset that their partner was going to Applebee's without them.
Yes, exactly. And so now they're like, they can go back to eating Applebee's alone.
Yes.
And
the ultimate
Netflix
cover for visiting Applebee's is saucy gloss.
They have to build up the saucy gloss excuse. And then they can go right back to just the natural lip lubricant, which is buffalo sauce on your wings post-meal.
Yeah, I do like that, actually. So you're saying guys and girls, everyone's wearing the saucy gloss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, all these people who loved Applebee's but had a significant other who did not, who hated the fact, like, hey, you need to stop going to Applebee's and eating those wings or else I am leaving. He's like, no, it's just the gloss now. I've stopped. Yeah, and then gets right back into those delicious wings.
Are they delicious though?
They look so gross.
They're probably fine. Yeah.
They're probably fine.
Yeah. I think they
Yeah.
Wings aren't hard. I'm sure they microwave these wings just to the right temperature.
Yeah. The last time I went to Applebee's, I was very unhappy about being dragged to Applebee's.
Mm-hmm. What was that, a Rachel pick or somebody else took you to Applebee's?
Somebody else took us to Applebee's. We'd planned to go to our favorite Indian restaurant. And
I
one
feel like
kid,
I was there with you, Tyson.
It was when I went around the room and berated everybody for why we were there. I blamed
I would
them.
Never want to be there, by the way.
So we were deciding where to go. We chose our favorite Indian restaurant. One of our friends shows up and said, I already ate. I want something small. And there's not really any small plates at the Indian restaurant. And I was like, you already ate. You don't even get to vote on where we eat, bro.
Yeah.
And we couldn't decide. And the kid kept arguing. So then Willie, our friend, was like, I have an idea. Get in the car. We get in the car. He
almost like a soft kidnap
takes us to Applebee's. I refuse to go inside. Then I go inside. The manager's like, can I help you? I was like, no, I'm just here. I don't want to be here. And my friend drove and there's I'm stuck. And he's like, okay. So we go in. We all have a miserable time. I go around the table and tell everyone why it's their fault we're there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really great. Yeah.
I'll tell you what Indian food inadvertently makes, and that is deodorant. Because every time I go to deodorant, I come home. I mean, every time I go to Indian food and eat it, I come back with an onion deodorant.
Yeah, it's
that
very
persists.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
It's because you're getting something with onions in it. It's not the Indian food per se.
No, it doesn't happen anywhere else. I go to lots of places and eat lots of onions. But if I go and eat Indian food, I come home and smell like Indian food for a day. It's worth it.
Yes.
It's worth it.
Tyson, this Applebee's trip, this is years and years ago, right?
Yeah. Yes. Years and years. Yes. I talked about it a long, long time ago.
Yes. So I feel like, this is like over like 10 years ago.
Still scarring.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I remember the story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it. This was a very interesting story to me. So there is someone that is trying to sell or get somebody to come take their refrigerator. I think we've all been here of Danny, you recently had a story that you needed somebody to come take your refrigerator. Now imagine how difficult it would be if your refrigerator was cursed.
Oh
man.
With the spawn of Satan?
No.
How was it cursed? With and what does the curse result in?
The soul of somebody's stepmother.
A refrigerator would be a really good receptacle for a soul. Like people put them in other things, like Ghostbusters put them in that little box. Mm-hmm. And the fridge would work as well.
Yeah, that was kind of like a refrigerator. Well, actually, in Ghostbusters, there was like Zool was like in the refrigerator. That was like you open the door and you can see all the
cold,
way. Yeah.
Sealed. I mean, it's
but then they also like put unloaded like the, you know, the things they would capture the ghost in. And that was kind of like a refrigerator also.
Yeah. They were all kind of tiny like a little handheld system.
Cooler.
Yeah. Okay. So check this out. Check out this posting. Okay. Here is the flyer for Cursed Fridge, free to collect. The person with the cursed fridge claims, "My stepmother had a heart attack on our kitchen floor in the middle of an electrical storm. And her soul was transferred into the computer unit of our smart fridge." Mm-hmm. And apparently the stepmother talks to them. "She's been subtly undermining me ever since, commenting on how many slices of cheese I've eaten or whether I've put the lid back on something." This is from England. "And I'm starting to feel like it is completely unreasonable that she's decided to live in our fridge, judging me on our culinary decisions. She has to go." So this is all like in print on the bottom of the flyer. I'm not sure. Let me see if I can show that to you.
Looks like a nice fridge.
It does look like a nice fridge. If it were closer, I'd definitely investigate.
Yeah. So let me ask the question. Danny, you know how hard it is to get rid of a fridge.
And a soul.
Is this story bogus just so people come and take it because they are curious?
That fridge would not be hard to get rid of unless there's like several flights of stairs and tiny spaces and corners.
Well,
it's still hard. Look at how, like, we had to get rid of our king mattress, a while ago.
Yes.
And it was super heavy and we hired it. We said, there's a company that online will charge you $100 to come and take it from you. One dude shows up.
That was worth it.
And I had to lift most of the thing by myself. And that thing is brutal heavy.
We talked about this.
Yeah. And you did the same. So somebody, look at how big that fridge is. That's a 3 or 4 man job with that fridge. Yeah.
So,
and that means you also have to have a truck, which trucks are not like as popular.
Priest. Don't
in
forget the
UK,
priest.
And you need a priest and probably,
no, they say
a
that probably they say that she will not go after the next owner.
You can't probably. Know that.
You can't know that.
I mean, that's
he's
just crazy.
Optimistic.
When you move a soul from its normal habitat, I feel like they start to go absolutely crazy.
Yeah, dude. That thing, you open that thing in the middle of the night and it's just like a door into hell.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but it'd keep you on your diet, Tyson. Keep you honest.
It definitely would.
Like, you know, I'd really like a snack, but I'm scared.
Yeah.
Think about it. Okay. And then also they say, aside from the soul within, the fridge itself is completely in working order. And I'm sure the unit would be far more agreeably housed with someone who hadn't forced their perfect child into a life of mediocre servitude.
Wow, this guy really hates. They had a bad relationship.
They had a bad relationship.
Doesn't like this fridge at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If his stepmother isn't dead, then this is awkward. And if she really did die this way, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Like, there's like no good way for him now that it's made mainstream media and everybody's talking about it, and especially probably in his neck of the woods. She's probably gotten wind of this possessed fridge that she supposedly possesses. And she's reading this going, "I always hated him."
Yeah.
It's just not going to help mend whatever relationship they currently have.
Wow. Yeah, I just wonder, is this like a great sales tactic of sort of like oh, I said this with a Batgirl movie of like there wasn't maybe a lot of hype around the Batgirl movie. And they said, no, now nobody can watch it. And people are like, we want to see it. And so like,
we'll
hey,
see, Rob,
this fridge is cursed. Like, I want it.
There are people who would want a cursed fridge.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who don't believe in curses and would want a fridge.
Nobody wanted a free fridge until they found out it was cursed.
Did he? He never says he tried to sell it without or give it away without the curse.
Does not.
I think that it wouldn't have been a problem. I think he could have given this away without mentioning the curse.
Hmm.
It's a good looking fridge. You should have seen the fridge I gave away for free that wasn't even operational.
Mm-hmm.
It was a janky piece of garbage. This thing is like shiny. It's so shiny and perfect. I can see the reflection of him taking the picture.
Would you take a free fridge?
No.
Hmm.
Liz would want me to, so I probably would end up taking it, but me personally, alone.
My wife would be psyched if somebody had a free fridge, no matter what, any condition.
The real test of a fridge is whether or not that ice maker works.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sign of an operational fridge. If that ice maker still works, that is something you take home.
Okay. All right. Let's take a look. How about some space news? Danny.
Love space.
Danny, have you seen some of these new high-res photos that have been coming in?
Coming out of James Webb?
Yes. Yes. Have you, Tyson, seen these?
I haven't.
Yes.
What are those of? The sun?
Nebulas, galaxies.
This is a photo that a French scientist had tweeted out, claiming that this was a distant star captured by the James Webb Space Telescope.
Okay.
How does it look, Tyson? What kind of compliments would you give that picture?
I mean, it looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Pepperoni.
Yeah. So actually, very good, Tyson. This image is actually chorizo.
Okay. Delicious.
That is delicious.
Instantly, it kind of began to salivate.
Yeah.
When I saw the picture initially, my very first thought was, it looks green screened because the black behind it, the transition from the darkness to the salami, looked fake.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, people, I guess, thought like, oh, wow, look at this new sun. Wow. The universe is amazing.
Yeah, the universe is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that looks delicious.
Yes.
And then, bam. He came out and told them, suckas, it was chorizo all along.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. This person is named Etienne Klein. They are a physicist and director at France's Alternate Energies and Atomic Energy Commission. Tweeted out the picture and said, picture of...
Etienne.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Picture of Proxima Centauri, the nearest star to the sun, located at 4.2 light years away from us. It was taken by the James Webb Space Telescope. The level of detail, .. A new world is unveiled every day.
And then people were like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful.
It is expansive. This proves there is a God.
Yes.
I started crying the minute I saw this.
Yeah.
And he was like, sorry to ruin your day.
Yes, we tricked you on purpose.
Why did he do this? Why was he testing us?
He said it was a test because a lot of people fall for an... Actually, I kind of understand this. I'll look at something and be like, how did they get that detailed a picture of Europa? With like, it's amazing. And then you look into the small fine print at the bottom, artist rendition. It's pretty popular in space to have an artist rendition. So when I see things like nebulas and all these things, I'm like, what? How much of this is actually real? Is this a picture? What's the color really like?
Yeah.
How did they get this close up?
Mm-hmm.
I just have so many doubts as we leave Earth and the general area as to whether or not
he was teaching us a lesson.
I don't like that.
to, and he did mention that he had had, a lot of wine or something before he did it too, but he was trying to teach a lesson on, hey, you know, like stop and take a moment to
smell, stop and
exactly
smell the chorizo right here at home.
Yeah. You can't lie like that. I think if he were going to do this, the proper way to do it would be like, here's a picture of a real planet. Here's a picture of a salami. Like that's like, I think it's just like, sometimes you go like, and some guys like, you're like I bumped into a guy once and he had a broken ankle. I was like, oh, how'd you break your ankle? He's like, oh, I was doing one of those wing bat suit things through the Grand Canyon. I was like, oh, that's crazy. And he's like, just kidding. I broke it on my sprinkler head in my yard. And I was like, oh. And he laughed thinking it was the funniest joke. I was like, you just lied. Like lying isn't a joke.
Tyson,
like,
what
if would I disbelieve you in any capacity as to how you broke your ankle? Like I have no basis to be like, oh, he's lying to me. He's trying to trick me. So like this here, no. Like, because you like could publish anything jokes. And be like, I tricked you guys. And then you're like, I told you it was the thing. You believed me. You guys are idiots.
It's a style. It's a comedic style, Tyson.
Mm-hmm. You should have seen the look on your face.
Yeah, when I lied to you and you believed
me. When you thought that this was a sun and it was chorizo.
Yeah, I told you it was a sun. You said, cool. And then I said, you stupid moron.
That is chorizo. Danny, can you get a chorizo saucy gloss?
They should make it. Mm-hmm. It seems like... someone will make a sausage lip gloss. It has to be made. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but it will be. And then we can move on, you know, have it get made and then we can all move on. But this to me did make me think about, so while I didn't fall for the chorizo, it did make me think of all the space images we see. Don't just automatically think that because the image was issued by NASA, that Tyson gets that joke.
I know, but, NASA.
That it was some real picture that was taken because NASA uses artist renditions all the time. Or like, oh, this is what we think it might look like close.
Yeah. Okay.
No more lying. If you're a scientist, don't lie to us and then be like, I tricked you. Because maybe he's just like testing the waters.
Yeah. For what lies can they get away with next? Yeah.
What can I get away with next now that I got this?
He's just working towards taking an up close picture of his dong.
No, I think he's working towards like publishing a thing that says that they landed on Mars or something stupid.
Oh,
that's the thing. It's like, and Docs in the chat says he taught us the valuable lesson of never believing him again.
Yeah. Now you're the boy that cried chorizo.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Tyson, you talked about how you had the challenge of moving a king size bed, and that was not very fun.
I think my knuckles are still sore from trying to grip the fabric.
Yeah, why are there no handles on mattresses?
Sometimes there are, but even still, like a king mattress is as tall as you, so you're going to have to hold it all the way up here. The best way to do it is to get those nylon bands that you can hook your elbow into. That's the best way.
Okay, that's come it. On, Rob.
Okay. All right. So we were talking about mattresses. And so Casper Mattress, they are looking for some people who they're calling professional nappers with exceptional sleeping ability for a new position.
Whoa.
Is it a sleeping position?
Yes, a professional sleeper. They're looking for people with the ability to exceptional sleeping ability to sleep through anything.
A new sleeping position, the first in 10,000 years.
No, no, they're not trying to invent a new sleeping position.
Okay, that's what you made it sound like.
I apologize for that.
I understood that too.
They are looking to hire a professional sleeper who could sleep through anything, not to invent new the Kama Sutra of sleeping.
I was gonna a new position. I thought obviously first was R-rated, my first idea, but then the next one was like, what, a new arm behind your back, one knee up towards your chest, on your face.
My daughter Marlo sleeps with her knees underneath her body, kind of like, is that downward dog or something? Or just resting position or something in yoga where you're on your knees Then you're folded all the way up with your head down on the ground.
Is that child's pose?
Child's pose.
Yeah. See, well, that's
now you know why.
Nailed it. Yeah. Shouldn't Casper be hiring people that cannot sleep? Like, wouldn't that be more useful to them? What good is a good person point. Like, I could fall asleep on the subway?
Well, we have Sarah in the chat saying she slept. She's a professional sleeper. She slept through the fire department pounding on her door once. So this is what they do. They hire Sarah. They go, they put her on this Casper mattress, which is connected to this rig. As soon as she falls asleep, they start like shaking it. And then they centrifugally whip it around. But this force is enough that it sticks her to the mattress. They just see what she can withstand while they're moving the mattress around so that they can then advertise and be like, no matter what life brings at you, stay comfortable on Casper mattress.
Well, maybe they're thinking, why are we making such comfortable mattresses for people who can sleep anywhere? Let's find out what they'll tolerate. Make a super crappy one.
That this is our new $39 mattress.
If you can sleep, why do you need something nice?
Build a straw. This is our medieval
built
mattress.
For people who can sleep on anything. Don't spend money on expensive mattresses.
It is a good point. Like, why are you buying such a nice
plastic
mattress
bags? Yeah.
If you can fall asleep at any time, anywhere, you just need a hard floor.
Yeah. We're helping the environment. We've taken 4,000 plastic bags and used them to make the new Casper $39 mattress. Best of all, it's easy to move with handles. Even a baby could move it. It weighs half a pound.
Discarded plastic bottles also would be
that might
idea.
Be a, like I think plastic bags might make it, you know, you could sleep on that, but plastic bottles I think would be a little uncomfortable.
Well, they don't care. I've seen people who I'm annoyed at people who can sleep anywhere. Really good sleepers annoy me.
They do.
It's you like a special lazy? Power that they have that's just like, let's say you go camping, right? Which is the worst place to sleep. And you're like, oh man, this is really, so uncomfortable.
If you're falling asleep camping on the first night, you are a psychopath.
Yeah. And they fall asleep in like under five minutes. You're still having a conversation with them and they're asleep. And you just spend the rest of the night just stewing in your resentment. Like, dude, what? This isn't fair.
Yeah. Danny and I have camped before and we camped with somebody who was a good sleeper. And you all three of us were in a tent because there were grizzly bears circling in Yellowstone.
Always prowling.
And Danny and I laid awake at night listening to what we assumed was grizzly bears walking around.
Always. There probably was like hundreds of grizzly bears.
Probably was. And Danny was like, I'm going to jump out of the tent. And I was like, no, our only safe place is this nylon tent. It's the only place the bears can't get us.
Yeah.
So maybe the idea is to create a mattress so that simulates what sleeping is like for the rest of us. A sleep simulator.
Maybe.
Tyson, I think that would be fair.
Tyson, could you sleep on Survivor?
Hardly.
Yeah.
No, I don't sleep on Survivor very well at all.
But you're just sleeping on the ground, right?
Yeah, you're sleeping on the ground and, you know, you're trying to figure out how to vote everybody out except for you. So there's a lot going on.
Okay.
Okay. Well, if you are a good sleeper, contact the people over at Casper Mattress. They have a position for you.
I didn't sleep on the challenge either. And I think they did use these plastic bag Casper prototypes because they were terrible mattresses.
Well, they needed mattresses for a lot of people.
So we had 28 mattresses in the house.
That's one of the challenges, Tyson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Could you take somebody else's mattress after they're out of the game and stack up two of them?
Yeah. And Princess and the Pea type of scenario. Well, I don't think that made it any more comfortable, but what I did do was James was my bunk mate. He's gone from the show. So I moved down to the bottom bunk where he was. And then I used the top bunk for storage.
Okay.
Nice.
Smart.
So that was cool. Yeah. Just gathering up real estate as we get rid of people.
All right. Danny, this was a story that I saw and I thought of you. According to this research, they say that cats actually like people who hate them.
How do they know?
Does that feel right?
Are they communicating with
dogs?
The cats?
Are dogs are the same. And it's it's not that you dislike a dog, but my indifference towards dogs when I go into somebody's house with a dog, they're just like, love me. If I stick my nose in your crotch, will you love me? If I lick your legs, will you love me? I'm just like, your dog really likes me and I don't want to touch it.
Mm.
That is true. Yeah. I do feel that way about dogs. I'm the one who likes the dog the least, and the dog is really
mouth kiss you. You're negging them.
Yeah. You're negging dogs. Yes.
Yes.
It sounds like it.
Yes. Okay. Well, cats love people who hate them because their reluctance to stroke and fuss actually gives the feline control and independence that it needs. So it's really, maybe for dogs, negging works. Cats are like, hey, I'm independent. I like that you are respecting my independence.
Yeah. Heather in the chat says that. It's accurate. My cats are much more confident within different people.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, I can see that. My kids love my cat, and that's a problem for the cat. The cat does not love my kids.
So if you want a cat or a dog to leave you alone when you go into a friend's house, you got to chase the cat or dog around trying to pet it and cuddle it.
Pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just 1 second. I'll sit down in a second. I'm going to try and catch your dog and pick it up.
Yeah. Hold on. I have to do this every time I get into a house with pets. Come here, dog. Come here. Oh, you come here. Give it a noogie. Pick it up.
Mouth kiss it.
All right, I'm done.
I just had to
ensure that it didn't bother me. I hate those things.
Yeah. They looked at 120 people of varying cat exposure. And then they said a person was left in a room with three cats, one after the other, and were let into play for 5 minutes each. And the person was told to wait for the cat to come to them, but then left on their own devices when it came to fussing, engaging, or cuddling the cat. And they recorded these interactions.
Hmm. So when you're fussing, is it like, oh, mommy.
Yeah.
Oh, meow, 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 cat.
Patronizing to the cat. So that's what the cat actually dislikes. Not the attention. It's the patronizing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hey, good to know. That's why cats love Danny.
Danny, you're going to have to change your attitude if you don't want to keep getting the cat love.
So,
you have to pay attention to it.
Come in aggressive. Oh, God, I love you.
Danny, over here, you. Yeah.
Get over here.
Yeah. And then they're like, oh, I hate this guy. He's so annoying.
Yeah.
He's the worst.
Get away from him.
He's not respecting my independence.
Yeah. It actually hurts my confidence to be independent when he's around.
Danny, would you be interested to inviting us to your bolt hole once again?
And cats, too, so you can snuggle them.
Mm-hmm.
Bring your cats. Bring your peeps. Bring your dogs. All are invited.
To visit Danny in the bolt hole.
Let's go.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yes. Danny Bryson.
So many stories.
Bolt hole.
This was a good week. Bolt hole stories and stories in general.
Yes.
I read a story about how to embrace doing nothing on the Atlantic because it is something that not all of us are born with.
I was born able to do nothing.
I think if you go to a beach, you can easily separate the people who can do nothing with the people who have to do something.
Yeah.
And just sit down.
Like, what is doing nothing? Is doing nothing just like listening to podcasts? Like, because I could do that. But like,
Listening to podcasts, kicking your feet up.
That's doing nothing.
They do recommend something. I have to find the definition of it. It's called, soft. Anyway, it's a form of concentration that is like passive. Mm. And it's something they actually recommend. So you can daydream while also like taking a walk. Oh, soft fascination is what they call it. It says choose soft fascination. So I wonder if a podcast might be a little too involved.
That's hard fascination.
Yeah, that's hard fascination. But I did read the article and I thought I could never do this.
Mm-hmm.
Even though
I do it all the time.
Yeah, because you're one of the lucky people.
You do it all the time too, Danny. Listen here. Listen, yeah. I'm going to ask you a question. It's going to categorize you exactly into this position. Would you rather do a job that you're indifferent towards or mildly dislike, or just stare at a wall at home?
Mm-hmm. I'd rather do the job.
Wow. Rob?
Yeah, I think I would rather, like, I think just staring at the wall would not be fun. Unless I could just like go to sleep. Yeah.
I mean, you can do stuff, but not real stuff. But, like, you could lay on your bed and hang out.
Yeah.
And go for walks and stuff like that.
See, I would rather do stuff that I kind of don't like, but be able to listen to podcasts as opposed to just like sit there and do nothing.
Yeah, what they recommend, they recommend starting small. They say sit quietly in a peaceful place for 5 minutes with a pleasant view, if possible, and banish all technology. So Rob's out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says doing so will let your mind enter what neuroscientists call the default network, which is the brain region used for concentrated
standby mode.
And rest. Yeah. Standby mode. Excellent. Mm. And then you're supposed to build up your ability just like any other exercise, which then turns it into a job, which maybe I could do if I looked at it that way. Like, okay, I'm doing standby my mode. Rest job, standby mode job.
I could legit do this for hours.
Then they say go on unstructured vacations.
Oh, what's that like?
Well,
that's all I ever do.
Yeah, exactly. So Tyson, what is an unstructured vacation?
I book a flight and I book the hotel and then we show up and figure out what to do on the fly while we're moving through our vacation.
Basically it means like just chill, you know, like,
yeah, you don't have to have an itinerary.
Yeah. You don't have to be rushing from one event to another.
My wife's mom, if you ever do anything, family related, has a full itinerary printout, sends it to everybody. And if one hiccup happens, the whole thing is ruined.
Yeah. Now imagine she lived in your refrigerator.
Yeah.
She might. If electrical charge, the whole situation.
If the storm, if everything happens exactly right.
Mm-hmm. And then the last thing is to choose soft fascination.
Stacked in Florida says I booked the hotel, so it doesn't count as an unstructured vacation. I used to go even more unstructured, but with kids, you can't do that.
Yeah, I read through this whole article and I thought, I just don't know. I just feel like I'm wasting my time, which is what they talk about. That feeling, that guilt. Said that we're taught not to be idle. But I think that it might also be genetic. Mm-hmm. Some people in my family can relax and some have to be doing something.
My dad has to be doing something all the time. And he constantly, if he goes anywhere for leisure purposes, he's always booking an earlier flight home every time, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like we'll go, even if he comes to visit us, he's like, okay, so your mom's going to get there Wednesday. She's going to stay a full week. I'm going to fly in Friday night and leave Sunday night. And then he gets there and he's like, I actually got a flight for early Sunday morning. Like, okay.
Why?
he just has to get back to getting back. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to just the people I currently hang out with in the mountains. They love to just relax and vibe. That's what they call it, vibing. Mm-hmm. And it drives me crazy because that's not how I'm wired. For example, we did this run. It was an out and back. So we ran up 7 miles and then we could turn around and run back 7 miles. We ran up 7 miles and then they sat down cross-legged next to a river to kind of like, relax. Vibe.
Yeah.
The whole time I just pace back and forth on the trail for about 10 minutes, just walking back and
forth. Which ruins it for everybody. Danny probably is.
So now nobody's happy.
Nobody's
happy.
Relaxed.
Danny
nobody's
ruins the vibe.
Yeah. I ruined it for them. Mm-hmm. And it's just like nobody wins in this situation. And I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't.
Who drove?
I got things to do. I know. That was my first mistake. You always drive.
No, but whoever drove gets to dictate the pace.
They did. And that's what I'm saying is I should have driven because I would have been like,
or you should have fallen in line to the relaxation because you didn't drive.
But that's what this whole article is about. You can't just go from no vibe to vibe. You actually learn from your friends. Learn how to learn. Vibe.
Yes. Learn from your friends. Take your shoes off and wade in the river. Do something. Listen, I went mountain biking with this guy who was in very good shape and I hadn't been in great shape and I drove. And I knew that he loved to ride hard and fast,
his mountain bike. Yeah.
And I like to meander and enjoy. And we got to the trailhead and I told him, I said, I was like, I'm here to enjoy. We raced yesterday. So we drove down to a race, raced that day. Then the next day he wanted to go on this ride. I was like, I'll go on this ride. I'm driving us. But here's the deal. If you get out of sight, I will turn around, sprint to my car and leave you here.
Wow.
And I'm not changing my pace. So you need to follow my pace. And he was constantly just like riding circles around me as I meandered and enjoyed the day. And it was driving him insane. But I literally really would have. If he got out of sight around a corner in front of me, I would have flipped around, gunned it to my car and driven away.
Yeah.
Well, now everybody knows.
You taught him to vibe.
I tried to. Mm-hmm.
You can't teach. It has to be. Yeah. It's a long process. Yeah. So anyway.
WB says they're out whenever somebody sits cross-legged.
Right?
Yeah, that was a very important part of the story.
And they close their eyes. And then you're like, I don't know.
I'm a close eye guy if we're taking a nap. Like if we run 7 miles, it feels good.
Yeah.
And it's 15 minute nap.
You should never close your eyes when other people are around you. Just, you don't know what's going to happen.
But what if somebody's like, okay, nap time. Let's take a quick
nap time. Nap. What is this, kindergarten? They're like, okay.
You've never taken a nap on a hike now. Or something?
What? Inadvertently, I kind of semi pass out some occasionally, but I don't intentionally just like, okay, this is
I haven't done it very often, but there's been a couple of times where I'm like, I'm exhausted. The sound of the river feels nice. I'm going to just put my feet up and close my eyes.
Look at you. I didn't know you were such a viber.
Oh yeah.
I'm a major viber, bro. You couldn't tell that from me.
Yeah. Oh.
We never vibe on our rides or runs.
That's because you're the one that plans it all.
You
drove.
He'd send me the itinerary and I'd just follow it because then I don't have to do any of the planning.
That makes you a good
planning.
Friend and a viber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Danny can't do structured vacations.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe I can start
unstructured
to learn.
Vacations.
Yeah. Danny can't do unstructured.
Yeah.
Well, that's the crazy thing is that my vacations, I'm not good at logistics. So my vacations are rarely planned out effectively. Mm-hmm. That makes it even worse. So vibing now becomes impossible because on top of, wanting to do a lot of stuff, I have to figure out how to do all that stuff.
See, I'm a logistics expert. Every movement I make in my life is the most efficient line possible.
So, that's the secret. They don't have that in the article, but to vibe, you need to be able to plan to vibe.
It's not even, it's built in somewhere. I can look at a schedule and be like, it's actually going to be more efficient if we move this way and do this here and do that there and we're good.
But is that vibing?
But it'll freeze up time to vibe. Mm. See what he's saying?
Freeze up time to vibe.
You're scheduling vibes.
And you can vibe throughout because you know that you're doing, I can vibe throughout it because I know what I'm doing is the most efficient way to do it. So I don't ever feel like I'm wasting time in my movements, even though there's time to vibe and I can vibe out knowing that I've planned it the best I could. And now we're just going with the flow.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably why you're so good at, the challenge, right?
I mean, I'm good at a lot of things. The challenge is actually a series of challenges, Danny.
Yeah. Is there time to vibe on the challenge, Tyson?
There is time to vibe, but the personalities involved aren't like, most of them aren't like vibing personalities.
Yeah.
So while even internally I am vibing, externally all around me is swirling a very thick unvibe energy chaos. Yeah.
That comes through. Yeah. All right.
That's it.
Danny, well done on the bolt hole once again. What is coming up for you?
Just trying to make it happen. Unlike Tyson, I don't have things planned.
Yeah.
What are you trying to make
happen?
Everything all the time.
Everything all of the time. Trying to make them happen. And so because I can't plan like Tyson, I don't even know. I mean, I am finishing up an episode that I hope to get out on Thursday. But other than
that, can you tease the episode?
I actually met with a stranger on this episode. Normally I don't communicate with people.
Are you going to blur out their face?
It was a weird moment when things were so cool, the environment, the view. I wanted to film, right? But we had agreed to kind of do this section together because, you know, it was safer together. And so I just, the first time ever in my life, I asked a stranger, is it okay if I film you? Because to me, that's a weird request. I don't know why. Because if someone said that to me, I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. I don't care.
No, you'd be like, thank you for respecting. That's totally cool.
So I said, is it okay with that if I film you? And he was totally fine with that. And but he doesn't know that he's going to be on YouTube. So part of me was like, should I, is the right thing to do, send him the edit and be like, hey, just so you know.
Have his contact info and everything?
I do. Because he's like, oh man, that was way cool. Like, give me your number. And if you're ever in Colorado, let me know. So I thought, is the right thing to do to send him like something and say, this is what I meant. This is going to go on YouTube. 60 to 70,000 people will see this. Are you okay with that? Or do I not need that? Is that like, I already got permission to film him.
You already got permission. I think the permission to film is the permission to share.
Yeah.
Rob, you agree?
Was the permission on camera?
I didn't get it on camera.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fine.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, worst case scenario, he'll get a team of lawyers to force you to take
down. Yeah, just take it down.
Seemed kind of successful. So
yeah, and mediocre amateur is very tasteful.
Yeah. It is very tasteful. I never show anyone in a bad light.
Yeah, it's one of the most premier YouTube outdoor adventure channels. Yeah.
Thank you, Tyson. Mm-hmm. So anyway, okay. I hope to get something like that out, and I hope to get out into the mountains this week as well.
All right. Well, great job once again, Danny. What's coming up for you, Tyson?
The challenge, United States of America is on tomorrow, and just pickleball throwing the opening
pitch
at the Diamondbacks game tonight. And I'm going to step all the way onto the mound, like I said, and get that sucker across the plate. Mm-hmm. And then the Diamondbacks have been very generous and gracious with me, getting us some really primo tickets.
Nice.
And,
did you get a warm up? I mean,
I'm going early to batting practice. So
they'll probably have you warm up with the catcher.
I want to warm up, but I don't want to warm up so much that my shoulder's sore, which could only be two or three throws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah.
Well, good luck with all that tonight. Anything else?
No, what have you got going on, Rob?
Just, you know, podcasting away, talking about all these different shows. I did watch a movie this weekend that might be up Danny's alley. Have you seen
Marky Mark one?
No, I did watch the Uncharted, yes. But Danny, have you seen Mac and Me?
No, is it?
What's Mac and Me? I've seen Mac and Me. It's the E.T. knockoff.
Yes. Poor man's E.T. Yeah. Well, I finally got to watch that. I did a podcast talking about it.
I watched something on Netflix that I could I don't know if it was good.
What is it?
But it was paranormal. It was called Skywalker Ranch.
Oh,
we've talked about this place before.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of paranormal activity. Skinwalker. Thank you, Tyson.
Yeah. Yes,
Skywalker. Skinwalker Ranch. And I don't know how I feel about it. Either they captured some of the most amazing stuff ever captured on foot, on
or video. It was all chorizo.
Yeah, or it was.
Or they chorizoed us.
That is a great way to say it. Or it was all chorizoed. Mm-hmm. Or we got sausaged. So just a recommendation.
But all right.
Rob, you've been liking the challenge? Have you been watching the challenge?
I have been liking the challenge. I thought this was a very exciting episode this past week. And so, I'll be glued to the, you know, I podcast Big Brother on Wednesday night. So I get up early on Thursday and watch it.
Good. It's perfect for an early morning watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So looking forward to the next episode this week. Got to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. All right. Tyson, that's going to do it for this week's episode of News AF. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. Have a good one. We'll be back with you next Tuesday. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.